I'm Dr. Stephen Clark Bradley, your host, and eternalaffairsmedia.com and the Above Ground Underground podcast are really happy and thrilled to have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Madison Marquette, and she's a very creative and courageous woman. And Madison has a very powerful story. I want to read something that I did some research on our guest, Madison Marquette. And Madison Marquette has a very powerful story, which she has shared with the world in her book, which is titled, My Father's Daughter. That's a very interesting title, and I want to ask you a question about that later. After writing her book, Madison Marquette did not realize that she would ignite the second fight of her life when she spoke the truth against a billion-dollar industry. She made some brand new adversaries, including district attorneys, police officers, actors, therapists, and corrupt government officials. So we want to hear about what has happened to you since you've come out. And one of the great thrusts, I believe, is you want to help young girls who have been human trafficked or sexually trafficked. And we want to hear your story, and we're really excited. So please tell us about yourself. Welcome, Madison. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. So yes, I definitely want to help girls that are being trafficked, especially through the porn industry. I mean, most girls or children that are being trafficked, it usually goes online, right? So it's porn. I don't ever say child porn because children can't consent to porn, right? It's child abuse. So yeah. Definitely want to help them. And I was trafficked for almost a decade through the porn industry. And so to me, it is, I'm passionate about, and I will help any girl, any child, I mean, even men. I mean, there's men, I know men that have been trafficked as well. And so if I can help them within my bounds, I will. Do you want to know the story?
we're going to ask a lot of questions. I'm sure you're going to give it to us. And sure. Very clear. And that was, you know, what I read already about your life and your story. And I love your website, which is called crazytrain.com. Is that it?
Thecrazytrain.org, or you can go to, like, on a crazy train at this point, right?
I mean, life is a crazy train, especially in America now. Yeah. And, you know, the part about this whole subject and what you have lived for me is that now I feel like my country is almost participating. It all probably always has, but almost sanctioned by what they're happening down at our border and allowing these kids to come in. It's just, you know, it's a terrible plight for their lives.
Oh, it's horrible. And I've been at the border the past couple days, and it is horrendous. I mean, the trafficking for children, American children out of the U.S. and then the Hispanic children into the U.S. I mean, it is absolutely horrendous. And anyone that says different, I will fight with them and tell them, go look for yourself. It's disgusting. The human trafficking has surged because the borders are open, not to mention the mask mandate, but that's, you know,
it's just terrible.
Time, I'm sure.
They're letting it happen. They want it to happen. They're encouraging it to happen. And girls who are young, just like you, are now being trafficked, and their lives are destroyed. You know, it's so difficult. So sad.
Right. And your lives are destroyed. I mean, I talk about it all the time. You have to learn, after being trafficked, civilian life, how to deal, like, normal things that would be normal for you are not necessarily normal for someone like me. I mean, certain things that will trigger us, and it affects their lives, the kids' lives, our lives, for the rest of our lives. It's a healing journey, a lifelong healing journey, for sure.
Yes. I mean, this is the world is guilty because the world knows what can be done, but does nothing about it. You know, I spent 9 years in China as a teacher, an educator, and to see what they do there, people there too, is just, we're doing the same as China now. It's so sad. You know, so.
It is.
Yeah. I have a few questions for you here. So number one, okay. I really worked hard to put these together after reading your material, because I felt like this is a great moment for you to be able to tell the world what your great vision is in the rest of your life now. So yeah. Important. And this, you know, this is a Christian organization, and I believe you're doing the work of God when you're helping these young girls or young men who need their help. So my first question, though human trafficking is widely talked about, I've never heard your powerful story before. I found that quite amazing, but I'm sure glad I heard it now. So important. We need to make sure the world can hear it. Please tell us your story and take your time to fill us in about what has given you the mission that you have today to bring down Hollywood.
Sure. So I actually got into the porn industry. I chose to get into it because I was in a desperate situation. And I was doing it for a couple months and then tried to get out of the industry. I was on a set, and it's not normal for women to have sex for money. It's just not. It's not in our nature. We want to be loved, cared for. And so I was on a set and I freaked out on the set. I mean, like a crazy person. It was like, I can't do this. And so my trafficker, well, at the time he was just my porn agent. He was not my trafficker yet. But I told the producer, I can't do this. Like, please just no. And so he actually called Derek, and Derek knew every single person in my life. He named off their names, their addresses, even people that I didn't even really care about, but he was threatening them, right? It's kind of like the Stockholm syndrome, and said, you're going to do this video. And I asked the producer, can I get myself together? He said, no. And then they filmed it as a gang rape. And so I got gang raped on camera, and then I knew that I needed help, and I believe in God too, but I also talk about a real Jesus, not a twisted Jesus that some pastors talk about. And so at the time I was going to a church in California in Orange County, and I knew I needed help. And so I reached out to the pastor there, whose name is Mike Erie. It's a mega church pastor in Orange County. And he said, sure, come like talk with me. We can help you. Now imagine, I'm a young child at, you know, 18, 19, you're a child. You don't know much about life. I mean, you just don't know much. I had the courage at that point as a young child to go to this pastor and say, I just was gang raped to a man on top of it, but needed help. And so Mike Erie said, oh, I'll help you. And he ended up calling Derek. And if anyone knows anything about the porn industry, when you first get in, a lot of the times you have drivers that will drive you from one set to the other to make sure that you actually show up to the actual filming, because you're either like women are drunk or on drugs. And so they want to make sure that you're actually showing up to the set. So when I was sitting there asking Mike Erie, this pastor, for help, Derek's drivers came in and said, you're coming with me. And at the time I was traveling the world, mainstream, like with the hair care company who I talk about in my book. I was married to the man and we were going through a divorce. And so I always carried my passport, my social security, my driver's license, because no one told me this is not something you should do. So the drivers came in and drove me up to LA, and Derek said, I own you. And then I said it on another podcast. Someone said it perfectly. I can never take credit for it, but he said, you basically lived in a beautiful prison, because I lived in this mansion, but the lock, Derek controlled the lock. I only went out for porn videos for a few months. And then after I got popular, then I was doing privates with the elite and globalist. And so I was trafficked for almost a decade. And that's kind of the short version of the story of how I got into it and why I got into it. And so my passion now is to let girls know that you can have them normal life, a civilian life. You can have a normal job, and that you don't have to be defined by what these sickos and monsters did to us, that we can actually have whatever life we want. We don't have to, even sure. Some of these anti-trafficking organizations tell the girls, you need to be this. Well, no, you can be whatever you want.
That's right.
Somewhere in there, they took the dreams away from us. And so, you know, hopefully that answers your question. That's a short
version. Very good. Very yeah. Well. And boy, your book should, everybody should read your book. I mean, maybe they will after this. Okay. They should. I have 7 books. I know it's hard to get people to read the book, but if they will, they learn something great about us, right?
That's true.
How about this idea? The title of your story is My Father's Daughter. I told you I was going to ask you this. As a published author myself, The title of one's book is always a metaphor of a deeper truth that they're going to find inside the story, right? And that's my experience too. What is the deep meaning behind your story's title? That's an interesting question, I think.
That is an interest. No one's ever asked me that question, so I appreciate it.
Cool.
I was actually abused by my father. Most girls that do get into the porn industry are abused. And so I was abused from the age of 5 to 16, rape and molestation. And so I grew up in a Christian household, and I was told, if you love Jesus, take off your clothes. And so as I grew up, it was normal for me to just take off my clothes for men. So when you read my story,
he said, what?
I talk about my father.
Can you repeat that again? He said, what? If you love Jesus?
If you love Jesus, take off your clothes. And so that's what my dad would say, because I grew up in a Baptist Christian home. But you're twisting, as a little girl, most children, if you believe in something, they're going to believe in it too. So to me, I believed in Jesus, right? I loved Jesus as a little girl. And so it was a way to twist God to get me to do what he wanted, which was evil, right? And so as I grew up, within my story, and when you read it in my book and I talk about it, is Jesus was always there with me, but a real Jesus. So my father, I am my father's daughter. I am Jesus's daughter. He mm-hmm. is my father. He that's restores right. everything. And amen. So, yes. So that's when you went through all of that. Well, if you read my story, God was always there and the light was always within me, but I got lost somewhere along the way. I just needed to find my way back. And so I was always my father's daughter, not my dad, who, like, I guess I could call him my sperm donor, not really, because he wasn't a dad, but my father, my heavenly father. I'm his daughter. And I want any girl that reads my book or that I talk out about, is that you're his daughter too. Like, if your dad abused you or you come from an abusive situation, you are your father's daughter. So that's the meaning behind my book. Wow,
great. Yeah. And also that makes you my sister, right? Because he's my father too.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. So how many, basically, people have been human trafficked? Are there out there today, young people, and what are their ages, basically? And like, you were so young when this happened, and it's just horrible. How would you estimate the numbers that are out there now?
You know, I don't even really think that you can estimate numbers at this point, because I don't think that the numbers that we're seeing are not necessarily the correct numbers, right? Because you don't know who's still out there, but they are trafficking infants all the way up to women. And there's different forms of human trafficking. You know, you'll traffic the children and then you'll groom them into the trafficking world. And if they're girls, then you have kids that are birthed into the trafficking world. And so this is the life that they think is normal. It's a life of abuse. So I don't think you can even name those numbers. I mean, I currently work for an anti-trafficking organization now. And I mean, it's been heartbreaking to just see the young children that are out there that are, they're trafficking and abusing and raping and using for their pleasure. And people want to make human trafficking trendy, and like, it's not trendy. It's real. Modern day slavery is real.
Trendy.
People also want to say that again.
Trendy. What a word, you know, that for human trafficking, that it could be a trendy thing, you know, almost makes it sound like a positive thing. It's a terrible, you know.
And that's exactly it, that people make it a positive thing, because, you know, especially me, I'm speaking out against celebrities. And so people think, oh, well, we want to know about it because it's about a celebrity. Well, how sick are you? Like, the people should know about it. They should want to bring awareness about it. But are you wanting to know about it to actually stop it? And to bring real awareness, or are you just, to gossip about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, just, you know, to tell everybody about it. And that's what you get on the media is not news anymore. It's gossip and it's fake. And fake. So many of them, Matt Lehrer, all these people are involved in this stuff. And
absolutely. Yeah. That's why I'm very picky and choosy. I mean, I looked at your guys' website. I'm like, well, I'll see who I talk to. I'm like, okay, well, they're patriotic. They believe in freedom and they believe in God. It's, you know, I did an interview with the news in a news station in Colorado, and they refused to air it. The guy hounded me to do a media interview. And then when I mentioned globalists and people and human trafficking, he wanted nothing to do with it.
George Soros is one of them that you talked about, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I mean, this guy is, if you mention his name on the media now, they stop you because he owns them, you know, he owns them.
Oh, and absolutely.
So that's a great lead into one of the most important questions is about what you're doing, what you've said about Hollywood. You've talked at length about the outright immoral involvement of Hollywood in human trafficking. How widespread is Hollywood's participation in the evil practice?
so largely widespread. I mean, there's people that I haven't even mentioned their names yet at this point of who's involved, but there are a lot of Hollywood that's involved.
We know right? We know some. Bill Cosby. What's the guy's name? The big fat guy who was a director.
Yeah. Oh, I know you're talking. I always have faces in my name. But not even them. I mean, let's talk about Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez. Let's talk about these celebrities that no one's talking about and we idolize them. Let's talk about Oprah Winfrey. Where are those children that she had? Like, let's talk about these people. I was trafficked for almost a decade, right? And I used to think I was going crazy for a while there because things that started happening recently with the world and the state of the world, I was having like these deja vu moments. And I'm like, wait a minute, they've planned this, the elites and the globalists, for years. This has been in place for years to turn us into a communist socialist country. And people, I used to not want to make human trafficking political, but it is. This point, because they are involved in it. And these large, I mean, Tom Hanks, you know, the first interaction I had with him is him punching me in the face. George Soros,
He punched you in the face?
That was my first interaction. And I knew who Tom Hanks was because I had watched him as a little girl. I was born in the 80s, you know. I knew who Tom Hanks was, but it was like, I think because my light was bright, and I talk about this, is the more that they wanted to try to steal it from me. And so they would do horrendous things because they wanted to steal that light, and because they're sick and twisted, because they couldn't, the abuse, it's not enough to just traffic us for sex. It is, let's beat them, let's rape us, let's torture us, let's like do bondage, all of this stuff, but like on another scale of it. Like, and not like I agree with bondage or anything like that, but it's not like, oh, you're just doing this because that's what people want in the bedroom. It's let's be abusive and torture you and put you to the brink of, you think that you're gonna die, and push you to that limit because they can. Because
what's that and no got one says to do with love? Nothing.
No, well, exactly. And these celebrities, they get off on it, right? And it's crazy. Tom Hanks, you're married, and is your wife okay with this? Like, I've been married. You know what your husband is doing. You do. I'm sorry.
Of course. Yeah.
No. So how are these people not standing up to it? And it's funny because I feel like we live in a clown world sometimes, because the celebrities that they're saying are crazy, those are the celebrities that are actually fighting against it. And it's like, they want to say Kanye West is crazy. Kanye West isn't crazy. I think Kanye West might be going crazy because he's trying to put an end to it, but he's married to someone who's a part of it. So it's crazy. Yeah.
The world's gone crazy. I mean, there's a spiritual connection to all of this evil that's being born out from the internet. I mean, the internet's full of wonderful things that I love having the internet, but this is unfortunately one of the gravest results of the internet itself.
Right.
And I just, I feel like, you know, you can't trust anybody now. I mean,
you really can't.
I mean, it's just crazy now. So tell us more about George Soros. I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but I'm really interested in how you actually met George Soros.
Well, George Soros bought me. And to be in fairness, I didn't know who George Soros was, like his name. So a friend of mine sent me this. It was called The Fall of the Cabal. Like a 10-part series, and she's like, this might be triggering for you to watch. And so I was watching it, and then I was having a panic attack because I saw George Soros's face, and it was something that I had to work through in therapy, just because he did, again, one of the men that did horrendous, torturous things to me. And I was like, wait a minute. And then I started doing research, and I was like, okay, let me learn about who this man is that bought me, because I am in litigation against my traffickers. And so I wanted to let my attorney know and see, you know, what evidence that I might have had at that point in time against him, and then realized, you know, he's donating to the Biden administration and just a horrific human being. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this the guy that ran it all? Because Derek owned me, but Derek was indicted. To me, Derek was a low-hanging fruit. against all of these elites and globalists like George Soros. And
I mean, the guy is anti-American. He's trying to, yes. Like you said earlier, they're trying to turn us into a completely socialist state and even Marxist yes. state. And this guy, I mean, he should be locked up. He's been banned from several yes. countries. You know that?
Yeah. I didn't know that. No, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to do the research because for my mental health, because these people yeah, do horrendous things for me, and it is triggering, you know, to research them. But I didn't know he was banned from states. It doesn't surprise me. He should be banned from America. I mean,
he should. Was absolutely. But I mean, he's paying off all our children. Politicians. So, I mean, how can they he's ban what? Him? They'd have to ban themselves.
Well, I mean, at this point, when are we going to take our country back? I mean, that's where we're at, right?
I can answer your question to me is I think we have one more chance, Madison.
Yeah.
And that's 2022. If the Democrats remain in power and if we allow them to pass these voting laws that let them do like they did against Trump, because everybody knows Trump won the election.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's no yeah. doubt about it. But yeah. If we allow that to happen again, we're done. Right. So there'll be a country here, but it won't be America. In fact, right now, it's not America now in my eyes, but
no, it's not. And you know what? But this is the thing is, I think people don't realize is that they have been doing this for a very long time. It's just out in the open now. They were trafficked. I mean, I was trafficked for almost a decade, you know, from 2000 to about 2009. You were doing this back then. So now it's just out in the open, but why aren't we outraged about it? Where's the outrage?
You're right.
Right. Like, yeah. We're burning down cities. I did a live Facebook about it. We're burning down cities over George Floyd. But what about our children that are being raped and trafficked? You know, there is no outrage, and I don't need outrage. I'm an adult. I've forgiven. I don't need the outrage for me. But what's going on in human trafficking and these laws, these sick laws that are being passed for pedophilia and pro pedophilia. Where is the outrage? These are our children. I mean, is there that many sickos out there?
It's hard to think that we're human anymore. It's crazy. Like we've been taken over by aliens. I think the Democrat Socialist Party, that's what I call it. I think it's run by aliens yeah. because they don't even seem human anymore. They don't even seem to have a conscience whatsoever. And I mean, Joe Biden of today.
Right, but they never had one.
I never liked Joe. Yeah, well, you're totally right, dude. You're right. I agree.
Well, speaking of Joe Biden, how long has he been a politician and a career politician? I have not spoken out about this because I like, again, there's litigation, but I just am so over it at this point. I was trafficked for almost a decade. He's been in a career politician for 40 years. If people do not think that he was involved when I was being trafficked, they're sadly mistaken.
Well,
he was involved. There's no wonder why Hunter Biden is such a sicko and a pedophile and all of that, because he learned it from his dad. His dad was a part of it, and I don't even have words for it. I don't recognize him. He's not my president.
He lost the election. Give me a break.
Hurting children, and there's a lot of accusers out there of him. If you just did a little research, it's hard to do it on Google and mainstream media, but there are a lot of women that are accusing him of human trafficking and rape. And this is supposedly our president, but you guys got mad at Trump for making.
Do me a favor. After this broadcast, go to Rumble and see my brand new podcast last week and this week. And it's about Biden and the 10 women who have actually, you know, complained about him. And nothing ever happens, you know. I can't remember. Oh, you know, he uses his age very well. You know, it's an excuse for every dumb thing that he does.
But, well, he's not even all there at this point. He's not. It's like he's not there.
I mean, that's why I think there's a spiritual entity, Madison, to all this. Because of Joe Biden, I never liked him. I never liked him much.
No.
But he's not at all the man that he was, not just mentally, but morally.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have become taken over by something because they don't speak. Right. Nothing that they want to do is good for anybody. Nothing.
No, exactly. But it's a battle. You're exactly right.
Themselves, of course.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. This is a battle of good and evil. It's good versus evil. I mean, Jericho, if you study the Bible, it was built on the bones of women and children. That's why Jericho had to fall.
Yeah.
We are now the U.S. What is it being built on? The bones of women and children. And that's human trafficking and modern day slavery. It's maybe a different time, but this is a battle versus good and evil. And we better all get right with Jesus, because you know what I mean?
Amen. I agree with you. You're totally right. Yeah. You know, it's all about their sense of utility, not usefulness, but utility, that we can use you because you're just a tool in our box here that we can use. And so that's what's happened through the Democrat Party. That's what's happening right now to America. And we're going to lose all of our rights. We've really lost them all right now already. Right. And so, I mean, the one thing that COVID did, it proved that the American people can submit to tyranny.
And that's what's crazy. I mean,
I proved that much. We're submissive people.
Well, I haven't been submissive. I have not muzzled myself.
Me either. Never will. Years. You know, I mean, I'm 61 now, so I won't die young. Okay, that's cool.
Listen, if they didn't kill me then, I'm not scared of COVID. You know,
I'm not either. COVID. I mean, I think it's real in some way, but it's being used politically. It's not that fighting COVID is not bad, but fighting it in a way to win politically is evil.
Exactly. I think COVID is real, absolutely, but I don't think if this was such a deadly disease, you and I, one of us would have been dead by now. We would have been on the floor already in this broadcast.
I was working in China. I flew to the Philippines, where my wife's from. All right. Yeah. And while I couldn't go back to China, I was locked down for a year. I flew from the Philippines during COVID to Japan, to Texas, to St. Louis, where I'm at right now. All right.
Wow.
So I haven't been sick since I got back, thank God.
Right.
And so I think, you know, what we're seeing here is they will cover up everything.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because they never make a mistake, and they always know how to make it somebody else's mistake. Go ahead. You want to respond?
No, I'm just agreeing. I mean, it's exactly it. They want us to all fight. They want it to be a race war. They want it to be all of, and it's like crazy because, you know, Martin Luther King was awesome. And he was the first person to say, as soon as you put a color in front of the race, that's racism. And so it's like, why are we, they want us to fight.
Business. And it's
absolutely.
I mean, Al Sharpton, them, that if you take away race, they're going to die of poverty because that's how they make their money.
Oh, absolutely.
Just crazy. So, I mean, I think that we see our country being torn apart, and the evil of it is the spiritual battle that's going on. You know, we believe as Christian Jesus coming back one day. I believe this is what's supposed to be prepared for the world after we're gone. So, I mean, there's a spiritual entity here.
Oh, and absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely. Let's keep talking to our Father about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's right. Here's another question I'd like to ask you before my phone goes dead here. All right, there we go. Is there any connection that you can tell us about that connects Hollywood and Hollywood icons and the connection with Jeffrey Epstein? Are there any connections that you've had to deal with in that? Because I'm sure George Soros and Epstein were buddy-buddy. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that were buddy-buddy with Epstein. But what people don't realize is Epstein's not the only one that has an island. So Epstein got caught. But I think that, again, there's always a fall guy, right? And they have to have a fall guy so they can continue to get away with their crimes against humanity. And so there are a lot of celebrities. I actually released the unsealed Giselle Maxwell's on my Facebook of who was on there on the plane. And those are the same people that bought and sold me for almost a decade and tortured me and did horrendous things that even if I were to talk about, you wouldn't believe. And these are celebrities that are openly talking about, people think, oh, Pizzagate, it's a conspiracy theory. Theorist, or you're a conspiracy theorist if you talk about Pizzagate. Well, no, because these celebrities are openly talking about it. Sandra Bullock went on Ellen and openly they were talking about her skincare, like what she does for her skincare. And she openly basically said that she's sucks the blood, or I don't know exactly how she said it, out of a young person, talking about the adrenochrome. And so these celebrities are huge celebrities.
Sucks blood out like a vampire?
Well, the way that they do it is they, with the children, and again, people are like, you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm not, because I've seen the evil that they have done.
I believe you. Don't
and
you worry.
They will, for it's the fear of a child. So you scare the child so much, and then you basically take the blood from that child, and it like makes you look young. That's why these celebrities.
That's real.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's demonic. Don't you find that demonic?
I mean, that Hollywood's demonic, and I believe with all my heart that Hollywood is going to burn and it's going to fall. And not only Hollywood, but these mega church pastors that are a part of it and trafficking children, or that are making millions off of God. Those churches are going to burn. And yes, I do believe there's going to be a revival, and it's going to be the right revival, and Hollywood's going to fall. But people need to start waking up and doing research and stop idolizing these celebrities, because they are sick and they are killing children. Like I said, it's the U.S. is being built on the bones of women and children, and it's exactly like Jericho. And so it's going to fall, and it's got to burn. And we have to be the ones to stand up. I mean, I talk about it a lot. This is not an easy calling for me. I'm speaking out against these huge people. They're part of Scientology, where Scientology is like, but all the celebrities go there and they hide everything in the Scientology church. And I'm not, naive to think that my safety is not at risk when I'm talking out, but everyone is so scared of them. I'm sick of being scared of them. I don't want them to have any power over me anymore. And I want them to fall, and I want them to burn, and I want them to stand up and pay for their crimes against humanity and against me.
Well, one of the things I truly believe, Madison, is that the very fact that America could have already aborted up to 80 million babies.
Yeah.
Young Americans.
Yeah.
That they killed in the womb. But the very fact that that can be done and supported as something morally right, shows something totally gone astray in our psychic. And it's a spiritual problem, not a mental problem. These people have turned to evil, turned to Satan. And I truly believe that. And then, because if you don't have any care, you say, the utility that a baby, an unborn baby, has no usefulness. And, my view is that if my wife is going to die if she has the birth, or the baby's going to die, of course I'm going to save my wife, because she already has a life. That's not an abortion. That's, that's God's way. But to kill a baby just because you don't want it, if you can do that to a baby, then you can do it to children like you were, because you're just a tool too. It's a mentality. And then you can do it to old people, because they're only takers. They're not givers anymore, because they only take. So that's where we're headed, down that road, where everything will be gauged on what is your usefulness. If not, we don't care about you.
Well, that's socialism, right?
That's socialism.
That's exactly what it is. And that, look what we've done to our elderly already. We imprisoned them this past year, because of COVID, saying that our elderly were going to die, and didn't take care of them. Yeah. I mean, but God says that you take care of the elderly and the fatherless and the needy. Like, and it's they wanted our elderly. I don't know. I believe a part of it is a lot of them probably survived the Nazi regime, and they're like, well, let's imprison them so they can't give history to people like you and I, who's living free and living, normally. And then it's the same with the children, where it's like, their life doesn't matter. We're saying certain lives matter, but these children's lives don't matter. Our elderly don't matter. If you're going to say one particular race lives matter, what about all of them out? What about children? Our children's lives matter. And frankly, we're harming them by muzzling. We're teaching them to not have a face. It is normal that they can't read emotions or anything like that. And so it's basically what you said. It's socialism. That's exactly what that is.
They want to make people moldable.
Yeah.
They want to break down your will, break down your ideas, break down your faith, break down your family structure, and then we can mold you into what we want you to be. That's where America's heading. And I don't know if they seem to be able to wind up Joe Biden pretty well for a speech. He's giving a speech tonight. Well, yeah, I'm not going to watch.
Hey, Dr. Bradley, have you met me? I'm the resistance.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, have you met me?
I'm not kidding.
You know, I was going to say, I was actually, when you were speaking there, I was going to say, maybe you might consider running for office one day.
You know, I've been thinking about it. I am in law school. So
you're studying to be a lawyer?
I am. So one of the biggest needs for human trafficking victim, and I hate the victim word, but for survivors is legal care. And even girls in the porn industry, they'll try to use our past against us for whatever reason. And even now I've noticed that they twist the law where it's not a law. Like they say mandates and they're doing it within the letter of the law and it's not. So I went and took my LSATs. I am in my second year of law school and I definitely, I wanted to learn the law because I'm like, you're twisting it and I want to know it so I can use it against you. And I can tell you my professors do teach a very liberal left agenda and I get into it with them and say, I don't want to know your political stance. I want to know the law. I need to teach me the law. That's what I pay for. It's not cheap to go to law school. And so, you know, teach me the law. So I definitely, it's something that I've been thinking about, but we'll see.
Well, I think, you know, you could have we need people who've been out there who know the truth about what's going on in the world. Just like we need some of our politicians who know about the military needs. We need people also to know about these evil things that are going. We need to stop it. One of the things I've written about in China, they actually do live human harvesting of body parts.
Well, they do that here that in the US too. I mean,
of course they're doing it. Yeah. Many people come there all the time because there's no waiting list. See, so when they have all these Uyghurs in prison, you know, then they use them for body parts. There's evil in the world.
Yeah.
But what could be worse? You know, when Jesus was walking on the earth, I noticed so many things he talked about children. If anybody harm one of these little ones, better for them to be cast into the ocean with a millstone around their neck, you know.
Yeah.
How important children are to God, you know.
Right.
And what we're doing to them.
Well, I mean, we're harming them so much. I mean, I have a 5-year-old and, you know, I said, well, we're not talking about my kids, but I'm going to make this statement, you know, my 5-year-old, he's afraid of people in masks because he has seen people scream at me, grab me, like just psychotic. And I'm like, okay, they don't know my story, but I'm a trafficking survivor. You lay your hand on me, I'm going like 0 to 100 crazy quickly because my kids are with me. And
that's right.
But I don't want him to think that it's normal for someone to have a mask on. I want them to know emotions because they need to learn smiling and sadness. There was a video years ago and it was a mom and her kid and the mom would smile and the little baby would smile and then the mom would be sad and the baby would be sad, but we're muzzling 1-year-olds and babies because you're afraid of something that's a 99%. I mean, we are harming our children, not to mention that I got a letter for my 5-year-old. Thankfully I have moved out of this state, but got a letter stating that they want to teach my 5-year-old anal stimulation. Why would you teach that? And then the school that I called, you know, to enroll them and talk about in the state that I am in now, I asked, I said, you know, you're not teaching this. And she said, no, she goes, but I'm hearing that they're wanting to teach our 5-year-olds. You can choose your gender. Let's teach the anal stimulation. This is what we're doing to our children. Like you're harming our children. That's child abuse. Oh. My children are boys. They have penises. I talk about it when I do different podcasts and we talk about our children. There's a app called Clubhouse and I'm on it with some people and it's called The Guardians. And we talk about different things of how we can protect our children. And one of the things is teach your children the proper names, like of your body parts. I am not going to tell my 5-year-old, oh, when you grow up, you can choose your gender. Jesus made you a boy and you're a boy.
That's right.
That is it. I mean, they're coming for our kids and they're coming hard. And that's where that's why I speak up because I see them coming for our kids and it's all over. And it's like, no one's standing up. Like who's going to protect our kids, our grandkids, who's going to protect them?
Well, you know? I can tell you it's going to be every man, woman for themselves, especially if you love God, if you love Jesus, especially, you can love Muhammad, but if you love Jesus, you're the enemy. And if you're a conservative, you're the enemy. Yeah. And if you love the Constitution, well, you're the enemy. So you know what? I'm just going to have to be the enemy. It's as simple as that. There's no other choice.
Right. But God tells us about that, right? You're going to have to choose, and you're going to have to choose. And it, to right. me, it, that's where people say, well, aren't you scared that I'm speaking out? No, because I'm going to die at some point anyway. And if they want to kill me, they're going to come for me anyway. And I'm going to have to make a choice. My choice right now is freedom, truth, Jesus, my kids, family, and values and morals. And yes, the Constitution, we're sovereign Americans. We are free Americans.
And if those things are torn away from you, who wants to live in a country like that?
No,
I don't. I won't. I refuse. No. That's why, you know, I'm banned on Facebook because I told the truth. I'm banned on YouTube because I told the truth. My videos were just wiped out. Boom. I had hundreds, you know, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a badge of honor.
I'm one click away from getting kicked off there, off Facebook, just because I do speak out. If you're a conservative, then it's like you can't speak out. And speaking out against human trafficking, all the human trafficking and like pages got taken down. The ones that I see up that are like very big, those ones, I'm like, you're the ones that have sent me messages and threatened me to tell me to stop speaking out. Yeah. Why? Because you're a part of the problem, because you are doing exactly what I'm fighting against. And of course, Facebook's going to keep them up because it's another way to supply women and children through the anti-trafficking.
It happens all the time on Facebook, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Who knows? Yeah. Old Zuckerberg might be doing it himself.
Oh, he absolutely is. I mean, he owns his own island too. People need to research that. He is definitely a part of it. Yeah.
Well, you're a dangerous person for them. And
me or him.
Jesus said, the truth will make you free.
Yes.
But, you know, think about it, Madison. If it's you who's, you know, you're speaking the truth from what you've experienced yourself and seen, when you talk about that, it makes you free inside. But if you're these people, the truth doesn't make them free. It makes them arrested.
Well, exactly. And that's where their truth is a lie, because they're hiding their crimes against humanity and women and children, and even some men, because I've talked to men that have survived it. And yes, they don't want the truth. It's freeing for me to speak out. I wrote my book, and you know, I changed the names when I wrote my book because everyone said, oh, you know, don't put the names in there. I wish I would have back then, but I don't think I had the courage back then to speak out against these celebrities and elites. And I don't think I was in a place of forgiveness. I am now. You know, they just offered me $13 million to shut me up. They said, here's a $13 million offer. The one stipulation is you stop telling your story and you stop naming names. I told them to shove it. I am not, I mean,
that's
$13
right there. You're guilty.
But you're going to pay me, right? What you're paying me to be silenced, you're paying me because you're guilty. And you know that if this goes into court and the evidence that they have, you're afraid of it. You're afraid because you're guilty. And so it's like, I just wish more people would speak their truth. I understand why people don't. I get it. But I just wish more would, for sure.
I think everybody's not going to have the same mission. I'm like you. I'm not afraid of anybody. We're all different. We all have our role to play, and your role is very big, and God has blessed you, even out of your misery. God has blessed you. He's the God that brings light to darkness and hope where there is no hope.
Right.
And so, I mean, he can do it for America, but we are seeing the ravages of a society that has basically said, we don't like what we are.
Yeah.
We don't like the Constitution. We're going to find excuses to get rid of it because they own slaves and this and that. But, you know, it's really there. These are people who have indoctrinated our children and who are doing it every day of our lives. So your role is very important. So before we go, I want to ask you, tell us how we can get to your website and how we can get to your book and how people can buy your book. And I hope everybody will, because it's a very important story.
So I just did an order. So I sold out of my books. So I just did an order. So they're kind of pre-ordering for the next shipment to come, but they can go to thecrazytrain.org or madisonmarquette.com. I mean, then Madison is MadisonMarquette.com. And then there's a, you just pay like through PayPal on the book, and then they have to put their address. And so then I'll send the book out to them once I get the shipment, so they can go there and then they can keep up to me. I mean, I am on Facebook, but I'm sure I'm one click away from off of there. And then once my finals are done, I'll be starting a Rumble channel, because people kept asking me, can you do a Rumble channel? Because yes. I do a daily of Joe Biden's not my president post. So they want to know why he's not my president. So, and just to talk about like how people can get involved with human trafficking, and will not get involved with it, but
well, we understand,
combat it,
yeah. Help stop it, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, they can follow me. I always tell people, please don't send me friend requests just on Facebook, because I have pictures of my kids and stuff, and so they can follow me and hit see first, and they'll see my post until I get kicked off, because I'm sure it'll be soon.
Oh well, wear it as a badge of honor. That's what I do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you should go to MeWe. You should, yeah, Parlay. They need to hear your
stuff. I'm on all of that. MeWe, Clout Hub, a Gab, but Gab always doesn't work for me. So I don't know why it doesn't. Huh. And then I just signed up for the Mike Lindell. He has a new Frank Speaks.
What's it website. Called?
Frank's Speech. I'll have to start doing it. It's like Frank's Speech, I think, but it's a Mike Lindell new website. Ooh. That he did, like a social media. So I'll send it to you so you can check it out.
Great. Send that to me. Yeah, I'd like to join it. Well, everybody, we're so glad that you joined us today. Madison Marquette is a very blessed person of God. He's given her a big role to play to help people all over the world who are being trafficked and who are being abused. And so we thank you for joining us. It's been very enlightening, and I think you should run for office. So you take that from me.
Thank you.
And I might even do it myself. You never know.
Hey, maybe we can run together.
So we want to thank eternalaffairsmedia.com. I'm part of this organization. And if you go to our site, eternalaffairsmedia.com, you'll see all kinds of amazing things, just like this amazing woman's interview with us later. It'll be there. And if you feel like you want to join our organization or support us, have something to offer, something you've written, let us know. But we're very glad, and I run the Above Ground Underground podcast with eternalaffairsmedia.com. And together, we both want to thank you for joining us, and we want to thank our very special guests for giving us an exclusive interview about something so important that the world is not hearing about. You have a mighty role to play, Madison Marquette. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you.